Coaches, Adam Bradley here. Maybe you're not quite ready to jump all in on the Lead 'Em Up Coaches membership. You're still processing and figuring it out and talking to people. We get it. It happens. In fact, we want you to do that. Really make sure you know what it is you're jumping into, because we want you to go all in. Well, if you're processing that, here's a great place to start. Start with our Green Team Framework. It's a 7-part exercise series for a minimal cost that can allow you to introduce the framework, the 3 levels of accountability, the dynamics and nuance within our Green Team that can elevate your program. It's a great way to get started. Implement the Green Team Framework and then assess where your team is at. And if you like it, bet. Let's jump all in. If you don't like it, let us know why. We'll talk about it. But I promise you, it's going to be one of the best things you will ever do for your team.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up Podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Welcome back to the Lead 'Em Up Podcast. Alongside Adam, I am Kyle. And today we have a very exciting topic that we are both very passionate about that we really want to dig into. We are talking about 4 ways and areas that we can transform your school experience. And this is something that we've seen grow over the years. And as we're recording here in early April, we're getting into the months where everyone is starting to look ahead just a bit to next school year. And this is the perfect time, Adam, where we can sit down and kind of talk about the areas that we've seen Lead 'Em Up Classroom transform the school experience, but in another way, really rejuvenate the school experience. And we're going to dig into this a little bit more, but when I say rejuvenate, where that is coming from is you and I have both been around to a lot of schools and talked to a lot of educators throughout the country. And one of the common themes is that a lot of the campus life has just kind of fallen into this dole of both students and educators and everyone really just going through the motions, so to speak. And it feels kind of after the COVID era, a lot of the comments that I've heard is it's not the same as what it once was. In fact, yesterday I had a call with a coach who talked about not only in their program athletically, but on the campus, it just has never been the same. And this is why they're looking at bringing Lead 'Em Up in, is what this can do for that environment. So before we really talk about those 4 specific areas, what has the comments been that you've heard? Have you kind of seen that? You've been all over the place here lately, and I know you've done a lot of work with schools. Is that the sentiment that's being shared? Is we need to bring life back to the school campus?
You know, that's a great question, Kyle. And I do agree that this is how things are in many places, but I do believe it is what you make it to be. And there are many schools that there is that level of apathy right now, 100%. Right. You know, and when you go deeper into that word of apathy, you know, it's, I mean, just definition wise, a lack of feeling or emotion, an impassiveness. But in some ways, I love another alternate definition. It's passionless. There's no life. There's no energy. There's no vibrancy. There's no flourishing. And that is the case in many, many schools. That is the case in many classrooms, frankly. You know, but I also believe that is the case because that is the environment you're choosing to create. Not intentionally, but sometimes your inaction is still a choice. You're allowing it to live that way. And frankly, I think there's a lot of individuals for one reason or another, in many cases valid, in many cases frustrated, in many cases burned out over the years, in many cases just, you know, overwhelmed by the pressure and demand, in many cases due to the challenging interactions with parents and student behaviors. It's understandable why there's this lack of feeling, emotion, and passion. It's understandable. But what we're seeing is if we lean into that and we embrace that, we will get apathetic campuses. we will get classrooms with no emotion, no passion.
Right.
But we are also seeing that if there's a desire to actually flip the script and create something different, that is still on the table. It's still available for all. But it right. really does come a choice. And frankly, I think many in the education system, for understandable reasons, have gotten to that place, frankly, where they are feeling those the lack of passion, the lack of vibrancy, saying it's not worth it, right? And just going through the motions, or in our case, gray, right? Just living in that gray, just kind of another day. Is it Friday? Are we at Monday? You know, oh, it's Monday. How was your weekend? How was your weekend? Oh, it's too short, of course, right? Because, you know, you don't want to spend as much time away from it as you can in it. Once again, understandable, and we're seeing it. But I think the part of this episode here is that it doesn't have to be the case. And that is not me being just this looking at everything through gold tinted glasses and Mr. Optimism and Mr. Green, right? No. The reality is it can. And it can, because there's enough stories, examples, and anecdotal experience to show that for some campuses are alive. Some campuses are thriving, just like some teams are thriving. Some cultures are thriving, even in the workplace, which we'll talk about in, you know, kind of touch on here in a little bit. Kyle, I think I am seeing that, but I think this episode is a reminder that it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't. And for many that listen to the show regularly know I was a former educator. And for anyone that's new, when I share some of my thoughts or feedback here, I taught in the educational world for 18 plus years, 14 teacher, in Missouri. Right? What's that?
History teacher.
History, social studies, man, jack of all trades, every subject you can think of in history. So you make a great point about, like, you can control what you bring and how you see it. And in the educational world, sometimes it's easy as a teacher to get caught up on everything that's going outside of the four walls in your classroom. But we have to be reminded that you are in control of what takes place in your classroom, and that's your world. You've got to learn how to balance your world with the rest of the world. But you are able to control how you feel in your class and how the students feel in your class. And this, what we're about ready to go through, is a way where I can say I've taught in multiple backgrounds, Title I school in Florida, diverse economical backgrounds. In Missouri, more of a rural / middle class, used it in both situations. And the thing about what we're going to share, this works for everybody. It doesn't matter what background you're in, what circumstances you're facing. And I think that's for the Lead 'Em Up community. One of the things that we all share in common is that we believe in today's kids. And we're not buying into the notion that, today's kids, they're COVID kids. They grew up on screens. They don't want this. They can't relate. No, that's not the case. This has been proven to work with those kids, and they want it. And the first part about this that I think one of the areas, when we talked about four areas that can transform the experience for us in education and in sports, it all starts with people. So it has to start with relationships. And this curriculum, when we look at it in the classroom space, has the power to not only connect students to other students, but now kind of bridge the gap between the student and the teacher relationship. We've seen that. We have a case study on that from our friends in Illinois. And when we share that, what we are seeing is this connection now to school that was once removed or taken away. And when people feel a sense of connection to their peers and to the teacher, they want to be there. It helps them show up at a higher level. And the direct area that this can relate to would be PBIS. When we talk about, like, what PBIS programs or strategies or structures are in place in school, when you implement the curriculum of Lead 'Em Up, you are implementing a PBIS program where that behavior strategies are going to increase because the relationships are built and there's a deeper sense of trust. And that's, I think, one of the biggest things that we can speak to is how we create that sense of trust amongst students and amongst the staff.
So you're saying one of the key components to re-energizing the campus, the school overall experience, is this enhancement of the relationship between teacher and student and yes. student to student.
Correct.
And I agree with you. I agree with you. You know, when one of our friends, Mono Watsa, PGC basketball, who I think from a culture standpoint is one of the leaders in the country about creating great cultures. I remember he once talked about the need to connect before you lead, and that you should, your kids, your athletes, your students, et cetera, should never hear your voice for the first time in a leading lens without a relational lens connection first. And he talks about the need to connect before you lead. And it kind of speaks to that. It's because when we do get in the habit, when I say connect before you lead, like having the conversation when they walk in the door, right? Getting to know them, right? Having some insight and understanding into, to, hey, how was that on Saturday? I know you had that on Saturday, you know, because I connected with you on Friday, and I'm not just, you know, you're not just walking in, having a seat, and then I start teaching without any connection prior to that. It's because that connection begins to incrementally lower the guard in our students, lower the guard of defensiveness, of closed offness, of disengagement, in turn, opening themselves up, right? Developing into an engaged student as they lower that guard, right? I mean, just think about like the stifling of growth here. Like I think about a tree forest, right? You've got baby trees and you've got the older trees. The older trees being the over canopy, right? That kind of over top. You know, man, one of the things that boosts and elevates the growth of the younger trees is if in some case that over canopy gets chopped down or falls down due to weather, you begin to see this elevation of the younger trees explode up because they have so much room to grow. They actually stifle their growth when there's this over canopy. Right. I say that almost in a metaphoric way to kind of just illustrate. We have to kind of view our kids. They are closed off. They're closed off. They essentially, it's as if they're like kind of stifled with their guard up, their wall up, creating barriers that we have to break down. We have to remove and eliminate, so which then will allow them to explode in their engagement, in their interaction, and in their growth. And how do you begin to break down that wall each and every day is very intentional work through the relationship. And
absolutely.
And the reality, no offense to a lot of the curriculum in and of itself, I'm talking about general schooling curriculum, math curriculums, your history curriculums. That is the work you want great engagement on, but the great engagement on that will come from the work outside of that. Okay. Like in the gaps before, after, in intentionally working on that. And I think that's one of the cool things about the Lead 'Em Up program, the way it interacts through some of the exercises, some of the role plays, some of the shared vision building of the green classroom, the sugar and salt, all these different dynamics. What it does is it produces interactivity that, frankly, a lot of traditional school curriculum, when you're getting into the core crux of what you have to teach oftentimes, that is more of a one-way collaboration. I'm teaching my history lesson. But being able to utilize a curriculum that's going to kind of create this energy, this trust, this vibe, this feeling in the classroom, oh my gosh, Kyle, you're right. It's going to explode the relationship, which then in turn, once again, lowers the guard, builds up the trust, where you then will see the kids explode in their engagement. And when they explode in their engagement, the whole classroom experience becomes different.
Right. And being in education, I always remember like the beginning of the year when you go back to school and you're talking about like creating the ideal learning environment. And so, you know, you walk around the hallways and you look into rooms and there's, you know, traditionally the four typical like desk arrangements, but everyone's got their own idea. Okay, I'm going to arrange the desk this way in this alignment. It's going to help create it, you know, further engagement. We spend a lot of time on that. The visuals, I remember, you know, being a young teacher, they would always reference, and my educators out there, you're going to laugh when I say this. I'm sure you've heard this as well, but we would always reference Dr. Harry Wong and the way to create relationships with your students. And it was just like, make sure you're standing outside your door and greet them as they come by. Yes, yes, that's a given. You should do that. We can't hide behind the desk. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because when you look at creating relationships, it has to be more intentional, just the saying, hi, how is your day? How's it going? When you're going through the Lead 'Em Up curriculum, you're going to learn the skill of going for gold and what a gold mine is. And so it's not only going
to
be
how to invest that gold mine to make it richer, make your relationship with the student richer. Yes.
The teachers are learning that. The students are learning that. So it becomes a two-way street where that relationship is being built. And that is something that, again, I think brings life to the environment that makes it to, you know, be somewhere that everyone enjoys. And I think when you go back to like the teacher component of what we teach, you know, I think we should always look at it. And I tried to view it through the lens of like, I teach people in the category of social studies. Like I teach kids, I'm an educator of young people who happens to be specific in social studies. That's my specialty. When we start to approach it through that lens and using this curriculum, the subject matter is going to hit differently because the kids, they don't really care what we have to teach them unless they know we care about them. It's a cliche, but it's true. You have to reach the heart before you reach the head. And this is the way that we can do that. That piggybacks into the second area here. So relationships are going to increase, and make sure you go to the site, and we'll be sure to share it out and link it to this. But, you know, Nathan Emmerich, one of our great advocates and champions of Lead 'Em Up, does a fantastic job at Carterville High School. We have a case study where he talks about the behavioral or the relationship aspect and how that improved as a result of the curriculum and what he was able to do there. So make sure you check that out. That leads in directly to point number two, the second way to transform the school experience for everyone involved is the reduction of behavior referrals, an increase in the positive behavior that we see. And that really ties in well with an SEL curriculum. So when the students are able to go through the Lead 'Em Up experience, they're able to hold themselves to a standard, which is created through the Green Team exercise, but they're also able now to hold each other to a standard. Once those relationships are built, the behavior is naturally going to increase because you feel a sense of responsibility to the people in the room, the people that you're connected to. And as a byproduct of that, we've seen a lot of success in the SEL space, Adam, with behavior referrals decreasing and an increase of engagement and positive behavior amongst the students.
You know, I love this angle. Here's the reality. The behavioral challenges in school are so real and they are so distracting and detrimental.
Absolutely.
I mean, and obviously every district has different issues and everyone's trying to figure out how to address it. Everyone's trying to figure out the right approach. School districts are getting crushed, understandably, in many cases, because they've just weakened their disciplinary policies and they can't even discipline a kid. And, you know, it's an issue. It's an issue. And it, frankly, it's one that I'm really passionate about. And I'm really passionate about, you know, when I hear about kids fighting in schools and things like that, I want to fix it so bad, frankly. It's just such an issue. It's such an issue all over this behavioral, this lack of respect. And frankly, I feel like holistically, and I'm generalizing here, obviously, I can't speak for every school, every district, but generalizing, I think we're approaching it slightly wrong, at least from my opinion. I think we spend a lot of time on like how not to behave, what's unacceptable in the classroom. We talk about the behaviors that we don't want to see. We talk about the behaviors that should not be exhibited in the classroom. We talk about the behavior that'll get you in trouble. We talk about the behavior that'll cause you to be, you know, potentially risked for suspension. We use a lot of themes about, hey, no fighting, things like that, all of which are good, all of which are good. But I think it almost begins to kind of approach, if you read many of the case studies about like the challenges that DARE, remember DARE back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Drug
yeah.
resistance. A lot of studies about that, how DARE actually opened the door to drug use.
When you were talking about that, my mind went right there, is because when you tell someone not to do something like that, like you say, it's opening the door and it's further increasing the likelihood that they will, which is crazy, but it's true.
So if we've got a fighting issue and all we talk about is how we need to stop the fighting, Yes, the message is good, but I think psychologically it begins to kind of have an inverted effect in the sense that we're just theming fighting. Fighting's becoming such an active thought in our mind. Yes, about not doing it, but it's still the general thought of fighting, right? And for me, once again, it's not bad. I just think there's levels to everything. I think there's some ways to actually take the effectiveness of that approach and actually elevate it a couple. And I think it is truly casting the vision of what a green school and classroom looks like. And I believe if you cast the vision great enough and you paint the picture well enough, you will get kids wanting that greater, better, stronger, more willing, right? When you begin to talk about what it could look like and how we could win and how we'll thrive and flourish and how all this good could happen for us, and using language that gets people to essentially only be able to answer one way. Hey, do you want to win? Hey, are you interested in winning? Of course, no one says, no, I want to lose. They may act in a way that causes them to lose. People don't verbalize it. Who wants to lose? No one says, I want to lose, right? No one says, I want to be a loser, right? No one says that as a pursuit. So you speak in ways by saying, hey, wouldn't you want this? Wouldn't this be amazing? Hey, don't you want to win? Well, yeah, I want to win. Great. Let's start talking more about winning. Let's start talking more about what it could look like. Let's start talking more about what we'll experience when we start winning. Right? Let's talk about more how like you don't like it when the teacher is always on you and you want some space. Hey, but I promise you, when we start winning, man, I'm going to give you more than enough space because I'll trust you.
Right.
Hey, you want more phone time in class? Every county district's so different, right? Some teachers said different things. Listen, I'll give you time on your phone if we're in a green classroom, if we're doing what we need to do to win, if we're engaging in the appropriate ways, if I can trust you, if you're mature, if there's behavior and character being exhibited, right? Hey, we're going to have fun. School's boring. School sucks. Is that what you think? Oh, really? Let me tell you what it could look like. Absolutely. Tell me about your favorite class experience in the last 12 months. Tell me about the day of the class, the learning subject that you enjoyed more than any over the last 12 months. Go ahead. Tell me, student. Tell me it. Explain it to me. Man, I'd say when we had this English class that we did this really fun exercise last year with Dr. Barnes, who was the teacher. You know, it was just really fun. Great. Fantastic. I want to create more of that. Let's do it. How amazing would this process be? You're going to be here regardless, 185 days.
Say, you're there 8 hours a day for 180, 190 days out of the year. Might as well make it great.
I feel like if that's what it looked like and felt like every day, holy smokes, it'd be incredible, right? It'd be incredible. So one of the approaches through the Lead 'Em Up classroom curriculum is it really shifts the behavior of the students, not by dwelling on the red behavior, frankly, not even spending much time on the red behavior. Obviously, identifying it at the beginning, but just recognizing you engage that way, you're moving us closer to losing. Life gets much tougher. It becomes more miserable. We win less. You don't want that, right? We're going to spend most of our focus on how do we create the environment that brings us alive. And before you know it, our young people will want, we're talking latent desires. Google it, latent desires, L-A-T-E-N-T, deep desires in all of us that need to be stirred, prodded, and probed, that can come to the surface and bring people alive. Our students want, if given a survey, they will choose a green environment. So let's start casting the vision, painting very clear pictures of what it could look like, and start leading them closer to that. You will see the behavior change, because before you know it, they will want to act more green, because green is winning.
Hey, this is Ashley from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's leadership nugget. Looking to grow and develop in your own leadership abilities? I think emotional intelligence is the number one characteristic a 21st century leader must embody. Two key traits of emotional intelligence are self-awareness and empathy. For us to have a positive impact and inspire motivation in our team members, this requires that we are able to discern what's happening internally with ourselves, along with the people around us. To lead a team to a more effective workplace, we must know each other's styles and preferences to work as a team to find common ground in all we do. Leaders who embody high emotional intelligence can 1. Communicate their vision more effectively. 2. Improve their persuasion and inspirational speaking abilities. And 3. Ensure appropriate responses to stressful and sometimes confusing situations at work. Regardless of the many theories out there about what makes a good leader, it doesn't happen overnight. Remember, leadership is a journey. If you're looking to be a better, more effective leader, or if you're working on personal growth, discerning your emotional intelligence is a great place to start. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
That's when the light goes on for him. And you know, the reality of it is, and I can just share, and I won't share programs, but I've been in there. I know what teachers are going through. I've been through the different programs out there that will want to aim to do this. And from my experience as a teacher, not as a Lead 'Em Up employee, but as a teacher, this program addresses those areas because it speaks in today's terms. It has a language that students relate to, and it's an experience. It's not necessarily, you know, something that they're listening to. Yes, they are, but they get to experience this. They get to live it out. And for a lot of the time when I was a teacher, when schools would try to implement variations of this throughout, you know, the course of years, it was always something that was just, to be honest, here's a PowerPoint. It was sent to the teachers a day before they were supposed to deliver it to the kids in the morning in their homeroom or their dedicated time with their special group. Teachers read through the PowerPoint. Here's a little survey to give the kids, have them fill it out. And if you want, you can give them 5 or 10 bonus points or make an assignment. That way they get the points to that'll incentivize them to fill it out. So we can check the box. We did the program. This is different. This is going into point three here. The fourth or the third thing that can transform the experience here is the campus life comes to life. And I alluded to language. It comes to life through language. And in the school setting,
shared language.
You're right. When that happens, when that shared language comes to life, it creates the us. And I think that's what's missing from a lot of schools right now is the us factor, not viewing it as us. But when we have that shared language, what it's doing is it's aligning everyone to the true mission and the vision, like you said, Adam, of being and building green. When everyone understands that, we can align to it. It keeps us united in our movements and our efforts. And the great thing about it is it's simple. It's transferable and everyone's able to speak it. And we don't have the 10 different languages being spoken throughout campus. And when that happens, when you're able to go from one building to the next and have that shared language, that consistency transforms the campus and it brings it to life and everyone starts to feel it.
Yeah. And, you know, we've seen that when schools have utilized the curriculum in a campus-wide, all-encompassing. Frankly, though, sometimes it starts smaller, though. Sometimes, you know, it's just an individual user using it in their classroom, and then they begin to build that specialness in their classroom that differs from everyone else. And before you know it, people want to know, what are you drinking over there? What do you got going on over there? Like, why is your room so different? And then a lot of cases we see it starts small and then branches out, but that shared language begins to create incredible momentum. You know, it's really interesting. Kyle, let me ask you. When let's say a school lacks school spirit, okay?
Yeah.
There's just no school spirit. That's kind of what we're talking about here. They lack school spirit. What do most teachers, administrators say is the reason why, like, their school doesn't have school spirit?
Man, there's an apathetic approach to everything. There's no connection to the school. There's just no sense of pride, no sense of loyalty.
Yeah, I agree. No sense of pride, no sense of why. Go deeper.
Man, a couple of the answers, to be honest, there's no attachment to or belonging to it. They don't see themselves being a part of it. And then some of the times it gets related back to, you know, what's going on campus, what people are involved in, the success, the tie to it. So those are a couple of the things I'd have to, you know,
I'm putting you on the spot. There is no right or wrong answer on this. Here's what I tend to feel is oftentimes the scapegoat. Our kids are different here. It kind of gets put on the kids. We've got a challenging group here. I mean, these kids are, they don't even get excited on their birthday, Adam. You know, like it goes back to the kids. It always goes back to the kids oftentimes. And I'm concerned about that. Huh?
It's true.
It goes back to the kids. I've asked many times. It's just like, yeah, the kids. I have a hard time with that. Because why does the school down the street have incredible school spirit? Are the kids that different? Hold on. So, yeah, but you just don't understand our kids. So are you telling me you don't think there's kids like your kids in other places around the country that are showing up different? Or do you think your kids, how they show up, that every kid around the country that is in that same similar circumstance, experiencing maybe the same challenges in their own life, you think all across the country, they all show up the same way? And it's just those kids, and there's no helping those kids? I disagree. There's no way. I'm intrigued. Why do your kids not have school spirit or energy and engagement, but the ones down the street do? Why does this program over here experience different results from you when, you know, frankly, the kids are similar? What happens? Why? How about this one, Kyle? The kids are in the same community. They go through the same elementary, the same middle. They break off into two high schools.
Yep.
And they're split. Why does one have great school spirit and the other one doesn't? The kids are the same. The kids are from the same community. They went to the same middle school, same elementary school. That's how it is in my district over here.
They probably live in the same subdivision a lot of the times.
They may live in the same subdivision. But yet one has significantly greater. I'm literally speaking to a real life dynamic where I'm at two very different school experiences. Is it the kids or is it the leadership?
100%. Okay. It's experience. It's the leadership.
Is it the tools, the strategies, the tactics? Oh, yeah, we do that. I'll share different ideas. What about this? You do that? Yeah, I do that. Yeah, we do that too here. Yeah, but it just doesn't, listen, we've tried.
Doesn't
that.
Hit.
Maybe your approach is off. Maybe your strategy is wrong. Maybe you haven't learned the art of engaging correctly. Maybe there needs to be more of a shared language. Maybe you need a more unifying talking point. Maybe there needs to be the appropriate gamification. Maybe we need to tap into the same shared vision, right? With the same themes that and mottos and slogans that kind of resonate. Maybe it's more of a collective effort where we engage the student and bring them into the process as they build green standards. Maybe it's a celebration dynamic of a culture built around celebration that breathes life, that has showed up day in and day out. I could go on and on and on, but guess what? It's probably not the kids. It is probably the leadership and or a combination of the strategy and the current approach that needs adjusting, tweaking, and most likely enhancing in a variety of different ways to elevate life, to bring it alive. And the reality is, this is what we do for a living. We go around the country and we see the good, the bad, and the ugly. We see the good, the bad, and the ugly. But what we see throughout is that all of these individual schools, all of these areas have the potential to become dynamic and special. It almost is irregardless of the kids. Trust me. It is irregardless of the kids. I promise you.
It works in every type of school and in every socioeconomic background.
And you know what? And they, all of them have challenges.
Yeah.
But they all can be overcome.
Yep.
Takes work, right? But like, I mean, I'll work with a team that is struggling from a socioeconomic perspective, right? Free and reduced lunch at a high 80, 90%. I mean, those type of in school environments, team environments, classroom environments. And in those, you know what I find? They are longing.
They want it the most and they engage with it. Yes. Absolutely.
But then I also work with groups where the kids are simply, let's be honest, spoon-fed everything from their parents, right? They have
highly affluent.
They absolutely want. And that's a challenge in and of itself, just like the other dynamic is a challenge. But I'm going to tell you this much, they want it too. They want to win. They need the skill sets there. They want to be part of something special, right? It doesn't matter. And everywhere in between, guys, girls, you name it, they're all across the board. They all want it. I think that's one of the powers of our curriculum, Kyle, is that the shared language, the shared vision, the celebration and framework around it and supporting of it, the different cues and accountability within it, begins to kind of produce, when it's delivered correctly, let me preface that, when it's delivered
like anything
correctly.
Yeah, like anything. It's not a magic pill. It's got
to
have
magic pill. Like, you have to teach it with some enthusiasm and belief and believe in it and really support it and go all in. And when you do, you know what'll happen? What'll happen is that you will see results like White River Valley in Vermont, who saw an 82% reduction in behavior reports over an 18-month span of implementation that they tracked, not us. They shared the data with us, right? Mm-hmm. About this change in culture as everyone just became more alive, right? In their assemblies, in their Friday kind of advisory, all school advisory sessions, just became more vibrant, right? You begin to see stories of success, like you mentioned earlier, Nathan Emmerich in Carterville, where he then gets invited out of Illinois, right? Out across the country to Seattle, and I forget the name of the event off the top of my head, to simply share as a big breakout speaker about the growth and energy and vibrancy that he's creating in his classroom through the Lead 'Em Up program and the additional work that they're doing. It can be done, but you have to find the right approach. You've got to be able to keep, you have to keep pushing the envelope on engagement and excitement. You have to keep pushing the envelope on engagement and excitement. You have to constantly evaluate, where are my kids? I'm going to talk so much more about engagement, frankly, over the next year or two. I don't want to kind of share, but like, I'm going to talk a lot. But I think if you figure out the art of engagement, it can bring it alive.
And really, to kind of summarize everything there that you said and what is needed and what we offer is a holistic approach, a true holistic approach that is bringing life to campuses and able to bring that school spirit back at a high level. And that, again, I think is why we all get involved in education. Why we get involved in sports and why students, they crave it, is because at our deepest core, all of us are longing to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We all want to be a part of something special. And that's why when we mention the different socioeconomic groups, is like, that is human nature. And it doesn't matter where you're born, what you're born into, where you're going to school at, that's at your deepest core. And this is able to untap that. That is, it's able to show them what it looks like and what it feels like. And then once they get it, that's how it transforms the campus. So like we said at the very beginning of that point, maybe it's not just a full campus rollout, but it could be a single teacher in a math classroom that starts it in their classroom. And everyone's like, wow, everyone's so negative here, but everyone in your class, man, those kids, they're first. They literally sprint from one class to another, and they're in your class before the bell rings, and they don't want to leave when the bell rings. What are you all doing in there? Why do they like your class so much more than mine? Why am I getting all these positive, you know, feedback remarks? What's going on there? That's how it can start. And then, you know, getting into our last point here, Adam, on the fourth way.
Before you get to that fourth point, I think it's also important when we talk about the kids. I think it's powerful of a reminder that, you know, as we originate in athletics, it's really interesting. We see a variance of kids, even within the school, ebb and flowing through the three different seasons. This is a really important reminder.
Yeah, good call.
So if anyone sits there and says, well, it's the kids, you know what's so fascinating about Lead 'Em Up in the athletic space is that there are some teams that do it and others don't. And some teams and programs that have really strong cultures where others don't. And you could take the same kids, let's say they're multi-sport athletes, and in fall, that team environment, they go all in. Oh my gosh, they're so committed. They work hard. That coach, that team has a great culture, great environment. And then many of those same kids play on like a spring team together where it's like unhealthy and toxic and the coach doesn't do a great job connecting and engaging. And it's crazy because we will hear that spring coach complain about various things where the fall coach, who has the same, many of the same kids, tells a very different story.
Yeah.
Would that person who says it's the kids, is that still, does that still hold up in that argument?
That's a great point.
How can it be the kids? It's the same kids. You put them in great environments that are brought to life by the leadership with the right strategy and approach. Changes the kids, brings them alive. Very interesting.
It's 100%. That's a great point. The environment absolutely matters. So as we get into our fourth point here, you know, I think this can be a challenging thought, to be honest. You know, when I think back to myself as an educator again, and maybe frankly, some of the people I worked with, is staff training. And if you're listening to this, when you hear the words staff training or professional development training as an educator, you're probably rolling your eyes. And I remember this vividly. I don't know why. It's kind of weird sometimes, Adam, how you have like these moments in life and career that it's not really a big moment, but somehow it's just like embedded in your brain and you can remember that specific moment. And I was, you know, probably less than 5 years in, maybe it was like my second or third year teaching. And I remember coming back to school, being all fired up, ready to go for the school year. And we were sitting down having like a breakfast or a lunch. We had our folders there and, you know, we were going to give a talk and like, I'm all ready to go. I'm ready for school. I can't wait for the kids to get back. And there was an English teacher. I'm not picking on English teachers, just what this guy taught for 30 something years. And he was at the tail end of his career. And I remember him saying something along the lines of, this is just a dog chasing its tail, man. I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, stick around for a while. You'll hear what I'm saying. You'll understand what I'm saying is like every 3 or 4 years, they're going to come up with something new. Someone new is going to come in and they're going to bring something new. And it's always the same stuff. But when we get to Christmas, when we get to semester break, guess what? No one's going to talk about it anymore. And I'll be honest, I remember that kind of like in passing, but as I went further into my career, that 100% became the reality where we were like, oh my gosh, we got 2 hours where we've got to sit and listen to this stuff. And it's not really applicable. It's not really helping me get any better. Like, can't I just go do something that's actually going to make me better, actually going to help me? Because this isn't it. And so it became one of those things, to be honest, where I was the guy rolling my eyes, being like, oh my gosh, this is going to be awful. You look at the back to the school year schedule and you're like, oh man, these 2 hours. And I was that person too. Open up the phone, start scrolling through it. Start looking at, just like the way that we get annoyed with kids, became one of the teachers that was doing it because I was annoyed by it and it didn't really hit. So I'm saying that and I'm sharing that story to really talk about how this is also a curriculum and it's a program that can bring life to the educator. And the reality is, I just saw this. I was reading an article yesterday, Adam, down here in Florida. At least in Florida, there was over a 10% turnover in teachers in the past year or so that just left the profession. So this is something that's going on throughout the country. And this is something that we need to continuously evaluate of not only how are we engaging the students, how are we bringing life to the students, but the teachers are the critical component of this. They're the ones that bring everything to life. So I think there's a lot of power in the staff development training, and what you and I are hearing and seeing in some of the requests that come in is, hey, I have a new staff, or I'm taking over. I'm someone that had a lot of turnover. We're building a new staff. We need something that's going to bring people together. We need something that's going to unite us. We need something that's going to enhance our culture. And again, this component of Lead 'Em Up Classroom, I think, is essential and needs to be talked about because it's something teachers need.
Oh man. You're right on. You're right on. And you know, it's really frustrating that our kids' experience in school is such a wild card. It really is. almost like playing the game of lottery. Every year it's playing lottery for our kids. And what I mean by that is you better hope you get the right number. Because if you get the right number with the right teacher, your experience will be fantastic.
Well, I'm sure it's all the same, like where you're at. Don't the parents in your community on the Facebook pages or maybe just in person talk about like, oh, we went to that school. You need to make sure you get so-and-so. 100%. And then it becomes almost a race to the guidance counselor's office to make sure your kid gets put in that classroom.
But it's a lottery where a fourth grader, if they get lucky, if they win the lottery, i.e. the selection goes in their favor of their teacher assignment, it can be the difference of life and flourishment versus angst, tension, and challenge.
And not just for that year. It's a great point. That then determines that student's approach and outlook for the rest of their school experience.
But it's a reminder that it all comes back on us as the leaders, as the facilitators, as the teachers, to be as good as we possibly can, to be as strong and as healthy as we possibly can. And that is why staff need to get the opportunity to experience professional development that is different.
Right.
That's different. Yes, most of them walk in, have no desire to be there. But can you flip the script? Can you present it in a way that resonates differently? Can you get people to walk away inspired and moved with sustainable practices? Can it be part of something bigger, right? Can your professional development, can it continue on the momentum? One of the biggest pitfalls in professional development I see is the constant circulating through different presenters over the year. I like it on one end because it's giving different perspective as you're working on different things. What I think you lose is the ability to build something specifically, right? So like one of the things with us, I mean, it's why we're limited on the number of professional developments we do. And I will turn some away at times because I won't do a single session. I will do it if they say, hey, I'd love to have you come out. Let's just do one, but I really want to do one with the intent to do more. Okay. You know what? Maybe you want to feel it out a little bit. I'm willing to kind of go that route, but there's got to be more. Why? Why is that the approach that we take? It's because, hey, I want an inspirational, powerful professional development. Well, yeah. What's your hope? You know, I really want to engage the faculty, engage the staff. I really want to help elevate them, equip them, give them the tools and really, you know, shift our culture in the building, all these different terms, right? Great. Are you willing to go down the path and the journey with me? Are you willing to let us build? Because it's not going to happen overnight. And that's what so many are doing. They're doing one-time things, hoping it will happen overnight. And then
the Band-Aid approach.
Yeah, the spring, then we'll bring in a different person who will speak at it from a different angle. Like, you're not building anything. There's no foundation setting, no building upon. And we've got to do it the right way. And it needs to be done the right way to build and strengthen the staff community. I had a PD day yesterday afternoon in New York. And I had the New York session. In the morning, they had the full district-wide meeting where all the schools kind of went to the same school to kind of be part of a bigger. And then after that, then they went to their individual schools. I caught the tail end of the big district meeting. And I saw many of the individuals that I was going to be working with later in the afternoon at the elementary school. And I had one lady, shout out to, I'm not going to say her name, but shout out to my friend. She said, Adam, and we've been doing Lead 'Em Up for about 3 years with this faculty. They are green. Oh my gosh. There's a lot vibrancy. It's alive. It's so good. They love where they're at. They love who they do it with. The environment's so good at this particular school. And I see her and I'm like, hey, I'll see you later this afternoon. She goes, yes, you will. She goes, let me be honest with you, Adam. I recently had meniscus surgery, struggling a little bit, walking around. That's why I'm out here in the hallway right now. Cause I have to like stretch my leg out cause it tightens up. She goes, I'll be honest. I had every intention of taking a professional day today and just skipping PD all, you know, the whole day, right? Just taking a PD day to skip the whole entire day of training. She goes, I saw that you were on the agenda for the afternoon. And I said, I don't want to miss it. How many people speak on that in general about their professional development? Nobody. People don't do that. So you've got to find different approaches. You've got to find and present it in a way that truly engages. And, we try to be so intentional because we have to be, because it doesn't work if you're not. So we try to be so intentional to engage people differently. And in turn, it produces a different result. And it starts with us. We have to be better as teachers. We have to be better as facilitators. We have to be more skilled in our art of engagement. We've got to be more skilled in the psychology of what gets people going, what excites them. And we have to be developed and continue growing in our skill set. And, you know, it's frustrating when we do have schools that use school-wide Lead 'Em Up. You know, there's always this one or two teachers that, frankly, it's unfortunate because the kids that go into their advisory that experience Lead 'Em Up from them experience a very different program than the ones that do it with that other teacher down the hall.
Right.
And it's really disheartening and really frustrating. And frankly, it all starts with us. We are the gatekeepers. We are the tools. We are the vessels that are going to bring this to life with our kids. And that development has to be really, really emphasized and done in a right way at the faculty level.
Yeah. And that's why we're so passionate about this is we're here to serve people. And when we look at the school dynamics of transforming your school experience, the students are the product of that school experience when they get done with school. So in order to really help them thrive at the deepest level, we have to have educators who are thriving and winning in their role. And the best way that we can do that is to provide some things that are going to elevate their performance, a transformational experience. So, you know, the four ways we talked about transforming your school experience here is increasing the relationships, not only just among student to student, but student to teacher. decreasing negative referrals, not by talking about what not to do, but shining a light on what to do and what we can build, transforming campus life for everyone and really elevating the staff training experience. So, Adam, as we wrap up, anything else that you would like to share on how this can really elevate the school experience for all parties involved?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a matter of intentional choice. I think if you want to develop something really special, you have the ability to start moving in that direction. I'm not saying it doesn't take work. I'm not saying it'll happen overnight. But you have the ability. But I do think you have to be very, very thoughtful in how you go about it. You have to be very intentional. You will not accidentally step into a thriving, flourishing school environment. It doesn't happen that way. It's got to be intentionally created. And you've got to have the right tools to do it. And if you do, oh my gosh, what it does for life, what it does for mental health, what it does to just breathe energy into your days, gives you that boost that is change. And I just want to tell you that it is possible. It's possible. And you don't need to live through the storylines of what everyone else is just going through the motions or experiencing. It can be different for you. It can absolutely be different for you. And anything we can do to help, we are here to help, but let us know. But we're excited about this. We're passionate about this.
Yeah, as you can tell, this is probably one of our longer episodes that we recorded on, and we probably could have kept going. We're deeply passionate about it, and we are here to help. We are here to serve you as educators to really elevate that classroom experience for everyone. So on behalf of Adam and our entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Kyle. Continue to lean in, and let's elevate the school experience for everyone. Have fun and lead 'em up.